now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. As a general proposition, young people do not appear to be particularly interested in construction employment. The share of workers in that sector who are 24 years old or younger has declined in 48 states since 2005, when the housing market was booming. This is based on an analysis of U.S. Census data by Issy Romem, chief economist at construction data firm BuildZoom. Nationally, the share of young construction workers declined nearly 30% from 2005 through 2016. There's no single reason that young people are avoiding construction. Construction jobs are generally well paid and often don't require a college education. That means that young people can make a solid living without taking on student debt. And yet, skills shortages persist in construction in categories like carpentry and electrical work. In 2005, the U.S. had nearly 12 million construction workers. Today, it is home to fewer than 11 million. As indicated by writer Laura Cusisto, the indifference of young people to construction is not only exacerbating the labor shortage, but it has translated into fewer homes being built and rising prices, possibly for years to come. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Coming into the all-important spring selling season, there were big hopes for the U.S. housing market. As indicated by Bloomberg, the National Association of Realtors entered the year expecting home sales to expand nearly 4% in 2018 after last year's unimpressive 1% increase. But the organization's chief economist is now tempering expectations, given that existing homes are changing hands at their slowest pace since last September, and new home sales have slipped to their lowest level since last October. There are a number of reasons for this, but at the heart of the issue is the scant inventory of unsold homes in many neighborhoods, higher prices, and rising mortgage rates. According to a recent study by Zillow Hot Pads, the average household has to save for almost 6.5 years to cover a 20% down payment at current prices. That's based on the assumption, probably unrealistic, that workers can put away 20% of their monthly take-home pay. That's not easy when rents are so high. Last year, Zillow calculated that only 42% of rentals were affordable, which is defined for these purposes as requiring 30% or less of one's median monthly income to cover rental payments. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. After years of stubbornly and surprisingly low wage growth, American workers are collectively receiving their largest pay increases in nearly a decade. The U.S. Labor Department's Employment Cost Index expanded 2.8% for the year ended in June. Wages and salaries, which account for approximately 70% of all employment costs, also expanded by 2.8%. Both measures registered their sharpest gains since September of 2008, which was the month that investment bank Lehman Brothers faltered, plunging us into the global financial crisis. Since the end of the recession in 2009, the official rate of unemployment has declined from roughly 10% to 4%. Based on that, one would have expected more significant increases in wages. But until recently, wage growth had remained moderate at best. But in just the last few months, that has begun to change. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, wage and salary growth is now approaching the average pace observed in earlier periods of growth. For instance, from 2001 to 2007, wages and salaries as measured by the Employment Cost Index increased 2.9% a year on average. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. You have probably heard that America is in the midst of a pension crisis. That appears to be true. Many cities and states can no longer afford the apparently unsustainable retirement promises made to millions of public workers over many years. By one estimate, these public pension funds are collectively short by $5 trillion, as indicated by writer Sarah Krauss in Kentucky. A major pension plan covering state employees had about 16% of what it needs to fulfill earlier promises, according to the Public Plans Database, which tracks state and local pension funds. This estimate is based on 2017 fiscal year figures. Similarly, a fund covering Chicago's municipal employees had less than 30% of what it needed during that fiscal year. New Jersey's pension system for state workers is so underfunded that it could run out of money in a dozen years, according to a Pew Charitable Trust study. In total, state and local pension plans in the United States have less than 3/4 of the money they require to meet promised payouts. The prospect of lower pension benefits is particularly daunting for those in their 60s, many of whom are quite likely to see their promised future pension benefits cut. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. For a rapidly expanding share of older Americans, notions of golden years are being supplanted by the reality of bankruptcy. As noted by writer Tara Bernard, signs of trouble have been in the wind for years. Vanishing pensions, surging medical expenses, and inadequate savings translate into large numbers of seniors simply running out of money. The rate at which people who are 65 years or older are filing for bankruptcy is 3 times what it was in 1991, according to a study from the Consumer Bankruptcy Project. More precisely, from February 2013 to November 2016, there were 3.6 bankruptcy filers per 1,000 people ages 65 to 74. In 1991, the corresponding statistic was a bit more than one bankruptcy filing per 1,000 people. Among all bankruptcy filers, more than 12% are now 65 years or older. That's up from about 2% in 1991. The jump in bankruptcy is so pronounced that it can simply not be explained by the aging of baby boomers. Structural factors are afoot, including the fact that some parents have co-signed for loans for adult children and lack the resources to pay back those debts. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.